Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to preach out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Today what we'd like to do is we'd like to preach about a vessel unto honor, a vessel unto honor. You see, in this particular passage of Scripture, these vessels here, this vessel unto honor, these some to honor and some to dishonor, they're people. And the Lord wants you, and the Lord wants me, to be a vessel of honor. And he describes for us in the text in which these two verses are located, what it means to be a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor, according to this text, is, first of all, a separated vessel. He says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these..." Well, we, of course, have to look at the context to see what he's talking about when he says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these." But we go back further up in the chapter and we see in verse 15 that we're to study. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then he says in verse 16, the first thing that we need to shun. He says, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker." So the first thing we need to purge ourselves from as a separated vessel, if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we need to be a separated vessel. We need to separate from profane and vain babblings. You say, "Well, where am I going to find profane and vain babblings?" I'll tell you, years ago, when I started preaching on the radio, and then the internet became kind of a more active way for people to communicate, we had a thing that we posted on the website every week called the weekly question or the question of the week. Back in those days, we had a lot of people that called in and a lot of people that emailed in with questions, and they wanted to get answers. And so we found that the questions were running kind of along the same lines. People would ask oftentimes the same questions. And I thought, well, you know what we'll do? We'll answer the question and publish it on the website, and we'll use it as a resource. And that way, it's kind of like frequently asked questions. If you had a question, you didn't have to bother with calling in and hoping to get us and hoping to get a response. You could just go look it up for yourself. And in process of time, we started getting less phone calls, and I think for two reasons. One, the internet was being populated with a lot more resources, and so people could just go there and find what they were looking for. And two, we had answered a lot of the typical questions, and people were finding their answers without having to call. But I was sure that there were still other questions that needed to be answered. And so what I did is I went to the internet and tried to get on some websites where people were, let's say, in a forum of discussion, or where skeptics were raising questions about the Bible that had truthful answers and needed to be answered. Well, in the process of getting into those websites, I found that people were posting answers, and I would post an answer similar to what we were going to put on the website, and then got the most nonsensical answers, the most argumentative, the most answers of natural men trying to speak as if they were men getting something from the Spirit of God. Pride, arrogance, confusion, It was really bad. And I said, you know, I am not going to waste time in these venues. Not going to do it. You know what those are? Those are profane and vain babblings. You find them in the comments section after a well-written article. People have asked us, why don't you have comments opened on your website? And this is the reason. Because people are looking for a place that other people travel to get resources so they can then piggyback. They can't get a following themselves. They can piggyback on somebody else's following. They write crazy comments hoping to stir up conversation, and then they go on and on and on. You know, if you have a Facebook page, you find that when you post something spiritual, you get all kinds of crazy responses. And when you take some of those crazy responses seriously and you try to straighten these guys out with the truth, you know what you find yourself doing? Wasting a tremendous amount of time. So you know what you need to do? You need to separate from that. Shun profane and vain babblings. They're a waste of time, and they're affecting you. If you're trying to become a vessel of honor, then you need to purge yourself from these. You also need to purge yourself from false teachers and preachers. He goes on to say in verse 17, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? He names them. And listen, there are all kinds of false teachers and preachers today, and you're not going to write to their websites and try to straighten them out. They are not in the business to get the truth. They're in the business to sell what they have to say. And they are not interested in anybody correcting them on anything. It's a waste of time, and it's also terrible if you end up following them. Their word will eat at the canker, and they will ruin you. Then you also have to purge yourself from iniquity. He says in verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ, watch it, depart from iniquity. That's 2 Timothy 2:19. Depart from iniquity. And if you're going to be a vessel of honor, you're going to have to be a separated vessel. And in order to be a separated vessel, you've got to separate yourself from iniquity. In other words, when God saved you and he has an intention to use you, he doesn't want you dragging into that relationship the same old sins that you've been committing since before you got saved. Now, I understand that some of the sin in your life is going to take some time to change, because God's got to do something on the inside of you with your thought life, with your heart, with your spirit, and that takes time, and then it will manifest itself in what goes on the outside. You got to clean the inside of the cup and platter first, and it just takes some time for some of this iniquity that's in us to get purged out. And we're never going to be sinless, but we ought to get better. And I'll tell you, there are some people that get saved and they are content to stay right in the pigsty and stay around the same old nasty sins that you were involved in before you got saved. God's not interested in that. And if you want to be a vessel of honor, you got to get away from it. And then you got to also purge yourself from the vessels of dishonor. He says in verse 20, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You've got to purge yourself from the vessels of dishonor in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, if you're going to be a vessel of honor. Let me give you an example. Preached by a friend of mine. You know, in a lot of places, like we were recently in Uganda, people have to cart their water from a water supply. So they're lucky if it's a well. A lot of times they have to go down to a swamp, or really just a low place in the ditch that holds water. And then they've got to clean it up. All right. You know something? They are not going to put that water bottle next to a pail that they use to handle dung, for instance. They're not going to put those two right next to each other. Why? Because they don't want the dirty vessel contaminating the clean vessel. If a man wants to be a wise man, he's got to walk with wise men, and if he's the companion of fools, he's going to be destroyed. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you just got to look at some of these folks that are vessels of dishonor and separate. He says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the words of knowledge. Just break it off. Break it off. A separated vessel. The Lord wants you to be a vessel of honor. In order to be a vessel of honor, you've got to be a separated vessel according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, watch it, he shall be a vessel unto honor, a vessel unto honor. Well, then you know what he needs to be? He needs to be a satisfying vessel. That's right. A vessel unto honor is a satisfying vessel. That is, the Lord is doing the work in you to prepare you to be used for something. He ought to be pleased with the vessel, just as he was pleased with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. At the Lord's baptism, the Lord spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." At the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, when Peter, James, and John are up there with the Lord Jesus Christ, God speaks from heaven and he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." But you know what the problem is? The problem with people today is they're more concerned with the honor that they get from men than with the honor they get from God. They're more concerned with the praise they get from men than they are with the praise they get from God. You see, in John chapter 5 and verse 44, the Lord was trying to get Israel to believe, and he said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Those are exclusive. They really are. There are times when you come into favor with God and you also come into favor with men. But I'm going to tell you, if you start catering to favor with men, you're going to lose favor with God. That's the way it goes. Early on in the ministry, you're going to find the Spirit of God on men, sometimes young men, very, very, very powerfully. And other people recognize right away that the hand of God is on this individual in a very, very special way. But what happens is he gains popularity. And when he gains popularity, he also expects that the Holy Spirit ought to be doing the same thing with him later in his ministry that he did with him early in his ministry. And when he can't keep up the same kind of following, you know what he does? He trades off favor with God for favor with men. And he starts seeking honor from men to keep up the crowds. And so he begins to compromise the truth and compromise things with God in order to keep the appearance of the large crowds and the big response that God had back when he first got started. And you know what happens? He loses his power of God. He dishonors the Lord because he's no longer seeking the honor that cometh from God only. He's trying to receive honor of one of another. This is a very big problem today among Christian celebrities, because they're well known among men and they've got big followings among men. But I'll guarantee you, and you know it if you know that Bible, God's not in most of what they're doing. They're not vessels unto honor. And our only concern should be to be a satisfying vessel, that the Lord should be pleased. Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, he said, "I do always those things that please him." Enoch is a man that walked with God in a society, literally, all alone. Nobody else in that society followed Enoch in his relationship with the Lord. None of them. And he has Methuselah as a son, and by the time Methuselah dies, the whole place is wiped out except for Noah and his three sons and their three wives. And you know what testimony Enoch had? By faith, Hebrews 11:5 says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. And here it is. It ought to be our testimony. Listen, that he pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. You know what he was? He was a satisfying vessel. And that ought to be your only concern, is satisfying God. You see, the vessel brings the Lord honor in the same way that art brings honor to the artist. When you are a vessel of honor pleasing to the Lord, he is honored and glorified as the one who made you. You see that? So a vessel unto honor, is a vessel that is separated. He's a separated vessel, separated from profane and vain babblings, false teachers and preachers, iniquity and vessels of dishonor. And he's a satisfying vessel. He shall be a vessel unto honor, and the honor is the Lord's. Absolutely. And I'll tell you something else. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, a vessel unto honor is a vessel that is a sanctified vessel, a sanctified vessel. He even says so in the verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Watch it, sanctified. Sanctified. A sanctified vessel. What is a sanctified vessel? He's a holy vessel. He's a vessel that's cleaned up and kept clean. Not just cleaned up at one time, but kept clean so that he can be used by the Lord. That's it. So he can be used by the Lord. Look, art is just there to be admired. And unlike art, we are not just sitting around as show pieces after the Lord cleans us up. We are designed for use. We're a vessel, you see, not just a piece of art. So a sanctified vessel, we've got a holy God. We do. And we have a Holy Ghost who is inside of us, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have a holy Bible. And Jesus Christ said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And so here's the Holy Ghost, and here's the holy God, and here's the holy Bible going to work on you to clean you up. And you need to yield to the work of God, yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, yield to the word of God, and allow these things to clean you in such a way that you're ready. You're ready to be used. You say, well, how much cleaning does it take? As much as the owner of the vessel wants it to be clean, sanctified, and holy. We are to be a holy nation. We are to be a holy people. And so consequently, the vessels that are vessels unto honor are vessels that are sanctified. You know, people today don't seem to be concerned in the least with sanctification. I say as a general rule, those guys that call themselves Christians today, they're more interested in what they call praise and worship. And I know what that is. I mean, genuinely, there are some who truly do want to praise and worship the Lord. But that whole thing right there, that praise and worship, when it comes down to that, you know what that is? We want to go to the church and party. That's what that is. That's what it is. We're going to go down there and we're going to have ourselves a good time in the Lord. And that's ministering to the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't sanctify the vessel. You know what it does? It imputes more worldliness to the vessel, not more holiness. Mm-mm. No holiness, I'll tell you, that's the deal where you get down before God. Ooh, and he does a work on you with his words. That's right. And with his Holy Spirit, and with his presence in your life, and with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, a holy vessel. Now, the Lord wants each of us to be a vessel unto honor. And in order for that to happen, you've also got to be a special vessel. Look again in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, watch it, and meet for the master's use. Now that's not M-E-A-T, that's M-E-E-T. It means you're a match. You're a match. When people have a swim meet, that's two teams that meet together and they have a competition, a match. Well, in the case of the Lord, meet for the master's use means that we're a match for the master's use. In other words, the master has a particular task that he wants done and you are the special vessel that he wants to use to fulfill that task. For instance, Paul, Saul, when he was saved, was a vessel, a chosen vessel of the Lord, and he was going to preach before kings and preach before Jews and preach before Gentiles. And the Lord said, he's chosen. I've chosen him. And he had a very special task for Paul to do. Paul was meet for the master's use. You say, in what respect? Tell me one more time. Okay, here's the Lord, and he's got this job that needs to be done. And then what he does is he raises up a vessel that is absolutely perfectly suitable for that job, and he puts them together. God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. So the Lord fashions the vessel as he pleases so that he can use it just the way that he intends. Now, you know, from time to time, you probably do handy things around the house. And when you need a screwdriver, you don't want a hammer. Because the hammer is not designed, it is not the vessel that you need to accomplish the task of a screwdriver. You need a screwdriver, and if you need a Phillips head screwdriver, then you don't want a flathead screwdriver. You see? or if you need a screwdriver that has a star, then you don't need a Phillips head or a flathead screwdriver. You need one that's got a star point on it and of just the right size for the screw that you're trying to screw in. The Lord has a very specific thing He wants to do with you, and the Lord has very specific things that He wants to do with each vessel. That's why He doesn't change our personalities all that much. He doesn't change our talents all that much when He saves us. He tries to take those things, clean us up, get us to a place where He's satisfied with us, separate us from those things that keep us from being able to do the work that He wants to do, and then He puts us in His hand and gets that job done. You're a special vessel. That's why Paul said they're not wise. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Why? We don't have the same job to do. And if you say, okay, well, I like this preacher better than I like that preacher. Let's say you have more than one preacher in your church. Listen, man, you're heading down the wrong road. God has different jobs for those preachers to do, and they are going to be different. They're both going to minister to you, but in very different ways. One may be more intellectual. One may be more inspirational. And you might like inspiration better than you like intellect. But you know something? You got to listen to that guy that's got intellect because he's got something to say to you that's going to help you. The Lord has very specific things that He wants to do with you, and you're a special vessel. You're not going to look like, you're not a clone. You're not going to look like everybody else. He's going to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, but design you for the very special thing that He needs you to do. If you're a pitcher, you're going to be a pitcher. If you're a vase, you're going to be a vase. If you're a water bucket, you're going to be a water bucket. Then those all have different jobs. So a vessel unto honor must be a separated vessel. He's got to purge himself from profane and vain babblings and false teachers and preachers and iniquity and vessels of dishonor. He's going to be a satisfying vessel because he's going to be a vessel unto honor. The Lord's the one that has to be satisfied with you. He's going to be a sanctified vessel because the Lord's going to clean you up so He can use you for an intended purpose. And you're going to be a special vessel in that you're not going to look just like the next guy to you or the next woman to you because God's got a very specific job that He wants you to do. And then this, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, a vessel unto honor is a serviceable vessel. Now, when I first picked that word to use, I was thinking, I don't like that word. That sounds like a service technician can work on it, but that's not what it means. It means just what the Bible says. Listen, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, separated, he shall be a vessel unto honor, satisfying, sanctified, and watch it, meet for the master's use, special, and watch it, prepared unto every good work. He's serviceable. You know what serviceable means? It means ready and willing to help. That's what serviceable means. Ready and willing to help. It means fit for use. It means usable to advantage. It means wearing well in use. So a vessel unto honor then is a vessel that continues to be a vessel unto honor all through his life, as often as the Lord desires to use him, and as long as the Lord desires to use him. You see, we get the idea that if the Lord's using a person in a special way under 1 year, that he needs to use him in a very special way the same way next year and even more so. And people get used to that. But do you understand you are a vessel? It's the Lord who uses you, and he uses you however he wants. I say this reminding myself of a conversation that I had with my pastor a number of years ago. We'd built one building, and I approached my pastor for some counsel on getting ready to build the next building, and he said this: you cannot assume, this is very profound, you cannot assume that God is going to bless you in the new building in the same way that he blessed you in the old building. That's very profound. You see, a vessel is only necessary as the Lord uses him. So listen, we need to be prepared unto every good work. But if at a particular time the Lord is not interested in using you a particular way, like he did last year, who's to say that you have to compound the way that you were used last year, this year, to make yourself, what, more noticed, more valuable to the brethren? He's going to use you however he wants, and you may be up on the mountaintop one day and down in the valley the next. That's up to the Lord. A vessel unto honor is one that is prepared unto every good work, so that, listen, he can be used as often and as long as the Lord desires to use him. It's up to the Lord. If he's a vessel unto honor, he's going to wear well in his use. He's going to be very capable of accomplishing things in his old age, because he won't wear out by abusing the vessel. I'll tell you, there are preachers that abuse the vessels. They're pounds, scores of pounds overweight. They don't take good care of themselves. They don't get good rest when they're supposed to. And when they get older, all that abuse earlier is going to appear. And you know what? They're not going to be serviceable anymore. They won't be prepared unto every good work. They're still alive, can't do what they're supposed to because they didn't take care of the vessel. So a vessel unto honor, from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, is first of all a separated vessel. He's purged. A satisfying vessel. He's a vessel unto honor, and the honor goes to God. He's a sanctified vessel. He's holy, just like our holy God and our holy Bible and our Holy Spirit. He's a special vessel because he's a perfect match for exactly the thing that the Lord wants to use him to do. And he's a serviceable vessel. That is, he's willing and ready to help, and he's fit to be used anytime, in any place, under any circumstances that God wants to use him. Just because God's used you a certain way the last year or the last couple of years or the last 5 years doesn't mean that's the way he's going to use you in the next 5 years. You have to just be available and willing and ready to help as God chooses. So make yourself available to the Lord to be a vessel unto honor, meet for the Master's use, and you know something? You'll be very satisfied. And he'll be very pleased. I pray that what you heard in this message today will stir your heart about being a vessel unto honor for the Lord. And I pray that he truly is honored and glorified in your life and pleased with what he can do through you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.